You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Ukrainian language and culture is seeing a renaissance in the face of Russian aggression. I spoke to Victoria University of Wellington applied linguistics professor Corin Seals about the steps Ukrainians are taking to embrace their own national identity.
What are some of the main differences between Ukrainian and Russian?
There's a shared history, but also a difference in history linguistically between the Ukrainian and Russian languages. And you get actually more similarities between them if you're in Eastern Ukraine. They're actually quite different if you're in Western Ukraine. And that's the same like any dialects in any country, you know, that there's changes depending on where you are. When we talk about differences between them, there are vocabulary differences, there are pronunciation differences, there are sentence structure differences. For example, if we look at kind of on a continuum, say, you know, Russia, Ukraine, Poland, if we look at that and how people say thank you, then in Russia, it's spasibo, in Ukraine, it's dziakuyu. And in Poland, it's dziękuję. So you can see dziękuję is a lot closer to dziękuję than it is to spasibo. So there's a lot of influence from Polish in Ukrainian, and still its own marked individual language and has been its own individual language and noted as such by linguists dating back to approximately the 10th century, and modern Ukraine dating back being its own language to approximately the 17th century, which is the same time period that we can date back modern French to.
A lot of people speak Ukrainian and Russian in the country. Mm-hmm. How are the languages traditionally spread out across the country?
You get a lot of people currently who speak Russian in Eastern Ukraine. You get a lot of people who speak both in the center, and this is on a normal everyday basis. And you get a lot of people who speak more Ukrainian in the west. And a lot of that has to do with the history of Russification that was part of the Soviet Empire. The Soviet Union, when it took on a lot of what is now modern Ukraine, when it took that, they enforced Russification policies, and Ukrainian language was not allowed to be spoken. And a lot of Ukrainian language speakers spoke it at home, underground sort of thing. So because of that, the areas that were closer to Russia geographically got hit harder by Russification, and there was a replacement of languages for families and individuals where Ukrainian was replaced with Russian. Since 1991 in Ukrainian independence, there's been a big effort and movement to revitalize the Ukrainian language across the country. And what that's mean in reality is that you now have a whole lot of people who speak both languages in the country. And that's a reflection of history as well as current identity and language practices.
How much has the war in Ukraine contributed to the growth or spike almost of the Ukrainian language and the Ukrainian culture?
So it's the current war in Ukraine from Russia is it had a major contributing factor on the number of people who have done what is called changing their mother tongue. So this is the way that Ukrainians describe it. Ukrainians, which sometimes I'll say we because that's my family as well, we have been part of this movement of change your mother tongue, and that's how it's described. And it is an alignment with a Ukrainian national identity. And there are a couple of parts to this. One part is that because of the ongoing war, and keep in mind that the mass infiltration of Russian troops into Ukraine, it happened, the huge amount of it happened recently, but Russia has occupied Ukraine territory illegally since 2014, end of 2013, beginning of 2014, and there's been nonstop fighting since then. So this Change Your Mother Tongue movement really happened at that time initially, and then now it's come back with even stronger force as a result of this heavy artillery invasion across the country. What has happened is Ukrainians have been asked to think again about what does it mean to be Ukrainian, especially since the Russian government and Putin like to say there's no such thing as Ukrainians. So you imagine if you're told there's no such thing as you, you sit for a minute and go, okay, what does it mean to be me then? And so there's been this revisiting of what does it mean to be Ukrainian. There's been this uptake of more of a national identity. So Ukrainians before 2013, 2014, before Euromaidan, they used to identify about half regionally as being the primary most important identity and half nationally. After Maidan, it became 75% of people identified nationally as being the most important. And part of that national identification has been connected with Ukrainian as the national language. So there's been this big movement where people are doing what they describe as shifting their consciousness to be more of a national consciousness. So I've had a lot of people I've worked with who say they're switching, they want to change the language that they think in, that they dream in, to be Ukrainian, to align more with what it means for them to be Ukrainian.
Is there an opposite movement to kind of shred their Russian influence?
A way that helps me think of this is, in my field, we talk about it as positive identity practices when you're aligning with something, and negative identity practices when you're trying to push away from something. And so what I talked about before was positive, but yes, there are also negative ones. That also is bit tricky for people, though, because when you've got people who have family, you know, parents, grandparents who are still living in Eastern Ukraine, who still speak Russian as a primary language, then there's still that some association with Russian language that people cannot shed completely because of wanting to maintain contact. But it has become something where a lot of Ukrainians have looked at, okay, so if we are individually or a collective also making a conscious effort linguistically to change to Ukrainian, but we cannot entirely shed the Russian language because we alienate too many people we don't want to alienate, then what else can we do? So there's been a big movement to push away from Russian literature, any Russian art, like the Moscow Ballet, the Bolshoi Ballet, and to push away from a lot of this idea, great Russian art and great Russian literature. And so Ukrainians have really been working on pushing that away because of not wanting people to join together the ideas of this artistic greatness with Russia, with the current government. Right. So it's this idea of let's try to separate them. So you can talk about like individual authors, but don't equate them to anything of Russian greatness. So let's push away from that instead and push away from those ideas. So there's been a lot of distancing from that. And a lot of Ukrainians have like stopped reading Russian literature, have stopped listening to Russian music, all in favor of Ukrainians instead, which is equally as good.
Putin and the Russian media have seen some very bold statements saying that Ukraine isn't a real country and the Ukrainians aren't real and that it was created out of the USSR. How valid is this claim?
Oh, it's so not valid. That's one of the first things you need to successfully establish a genocide, is to deny the existence of a people. And so it's very, that's crucial for Putin's mission than in what he's doing and what the Russian military are doing, going against and essentially leading this genocide against Ukrainian people. And so that whole discourse over it's not a real country and all that, it's more that it feeds into their goals currently. Though I do believe he believes that somewhat. I think he does believe that it's true, that Ukraine's not a real country, which is fascinating in a very twisted way, because it's when you've got an entire nation of people who identify with their country that has been internationally recognized as a country and has a long-standing history going back to the 10th century, you know, that's quite an interesting way to fool yourself with rewriting history.
That was Victoria University of Wellington's Applied Linguistics Professor Corinne Seals talking about the renaissance of the Ukrainian language.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.